Good morning. So how was your evening last night? Did you do anything special? What'd you have for supper? Was it takeout or was it Saturday night burgers last night? Or maybe there was a special meal last night. What did you talk about? Was it Nova Scotia? Or the latest COVID news? Or Trump's miracle cures? Prince Louis's second birthday? Or maybe it was something a little more personal. Did you talk about who you ran into at Zaire's from a safe distance? Did you compare who can ride their bike fastest? Did you figure out who's getting bored? And who's getting to actually like this quiet? What was the best part of the meal last night? Was it the food, or was it the people you enjoyed it with? Or maybe, because of the great people, the food tasted better. There is something special about a meal with good friends and loved ones, especially if it's a significant occasion. For a birthday or Christmas, my mom would prep for weeks. There was planning the menu. There was all the shopping. There was, I have to bring out all the best linens and the good china. She would cook and bake for days. And the anticipation and the excitement the day of was palpable. You were waiting for your favorite folks to burst through the door, and then it really got fun. All the hugs and the conversations that flow from real, trusting connections. How about the stories you tell? So many times you're sitting around a table and someone starts into a story and they don't even have to finish it. All they have to say is, "Remember that time, Aunt Winnie," and everyone's already laughing. The meals we share together are important. We are fed by so much more than the food. I know and I believe that meals shared are important because I've happily sat at the SWAT table for over 50 years. But much more than that, I know it and believe it because Jesus chose to reveal himself to his disciples during a meal, in the midst of a gathering of friends, on the first night after he emerged from the tomb. Two disciples leaving Jerusalem are talking along the road. They're walking towards Emmaus, which is about 8 kilometers or so west of the city. Or it was about 11 kilometers northwest of Jerusalem. Or they were headed about 12 kilometers out of the city before making a very sharp right turn and heading north. These two, they were not members of the 11 apostles, were on the road to, we don't really know. The exact location of ancient Emmaus is a mystery. It seems pretty clear that the physical location is not important to God. Or you can bet he would have left a sign or a mark of some kind for us. He did not. What matters is the event. What matters is the fact that Christ is alive, engaging with his friends in meaningful relationship through the very non-glorious task of breaking bread. This mundane, routine part of every day is elevated to the sacred before they recognize that Christ is present How could they fail to recognize him on the road? Luke writes that they were kept from knowing him, but Scripture doesn't say what or who kept them in the dark. Remember, Jesus wasn't supposed to be alive. The two disciples were deep in grief and shock, talking and talking along the road, trying to process what had just happened. They thought that Jesus was the Christ. But then he got executed. But then the women said that he was not in the tomb. So now they don't know what to believe. But they were able to open their minds and their hearts to this man's teaching that they met on the road. And then they show this stranger the spirit of kindness and generosity, and they invite him to stay because it's getting late, it wouldn't be safe. Jesus shared his wisdom and his companionship. They gladly received and likewise shared whatever they had to offer. Together, they gave thanks to God, and Christ is present. He's real to them in the sharing of one loaf, in the sharing of their communal expression of faith in God through giving thanks. A good friend recently admitted something I've actually heard more than a few times in the last couple of weeks. This friend admitted that they're enjoying this new normal. As long as everyone stays healthy, they're very much loving this slower pace and the more intentional, unhurried time with their children. They're seeing qualities and kindnesses that before they couldn't pause long enough to really appreciate. They're eating together every meal. They're breaking bread in the simple, significant act of acceptance and connection and relationship that is given great importance by Christ himself, who gave thanks and shared bread as his way of declaring, I'm here. I'm with you always, in the smallest, ordinary moment, and especially when we're traveling along the road to It's very strange that we can't be together for now. And perhaps we need reminders of the love that surrounds us. We need reminders that Christ is present. The early Christians would engage in a rather interesting ritual, a meal. It was their way of not only recalling that Christ honored the simple act of eating, but the meal itself would ground their faith. It would give it a tangible element in their sharing. It was called an agape meal. Agape is one of the five words in the ancient Greek language for love. When Jesus says, for God so loved the world, as recorded in John's Gospel at 3:16, the word he uses is agape. It means the purest, highest form of unconditional love. It means the love that God has for us, and ideally, it is the love that we return to God and offer one another. To emphasize and to live out their close fellowship, early Christians would gather to pray with gratitude, and then bread was broken and shared for the goodness of God. That's what it meant to them. Goodness in which they all shared. And to give thanks for the blessing of relationship. But that one loaf symbolized the whole body of faith, of which we are each an essential part. Maybe you'd like to try this at home. Next time you gather for a meal, just say a simple prayer of appreciation for your blessings. If there's more than one of you, maybe just go around the table and everyone say something for which they are thankful. And that's a prayer. When it comes from the heart and it's offered to God, it's that simple. If you're eating alone, as I am, take a moment to just consider all you have. Reflect on all of the people who are thinking about you, who love you, who would love to be with you. And count your blessings as you prepare to have that meal. And as you're eating, slow down. Take some time. Enjoy every morsel. Think about the textures. Think about how it got to your table and the people that provided it. Think about the gift of conversation. Enjoy the scenery out your window, the music that's on your radio at that moment. Just pause to think about the blessings of the people you spend your life with. Pause to think about the blessing of the body of faith of which you are a part. And no safe distancing can ever change that. We are part of one body, one element of pure goodness that is a gift from God. And never forget, never forget, Christ is present in it all. Amen. As we come to prayer, I'm sure it's hard to get the images of scads of RCMP cruisers all over Nova Scotia. Pray for those folks. Pray for the victims' families. Pray for those communities that are rocked to the core. Continue praying for our health workers, for all of our essential service workers. Continue praying for the folks in our congregation, for Beatrice Poole, for Donna Carn, for Don Stewart, for Anne Hamilton. Continue offering up all of the situations that concern us in prayer. Let's join together now. Let us pray. God of recreation and redemption, you proved to us at Easter that our faith is grounded in fact, that love is stronger than death, that your light will overcome any darkness. Remind us that the world is filled with beauty, that you've created the richest colors, enticing scents, the world that you've given us with kinder hearts and generous spirits. We are grateful for all of it and for the blessing of opportunity that we are invited to participate in the divinity that sustains and uplifts this earth. And yet so often the world turns away from you as if to deny your existence. Some seem to prefer the lie that humanity is sufficient without you. Make us aware of your gifts all around us, your hand in a hopeful turn of events, your provision of the right resources, or just the right friend at the perfect moment. We pray for our world, the world that you command us to steward through times of abundance and want, through turmoil and stability. Steady us against the temptation to despair, so that we may never abandon the task or the hope that we have in you. We need your blessings of humility and wisdom to reverse the harmful effects of wasteful decisions. We need your standard of compassion, understanding, and justice to address illness, inequality, and greed. We need your vision and perseverance to secure the well-being of this and future generations. We need your Trinitarian model of harmony to bring us together as a global family to resolve the conflicts that rage on between nations and neighbors. We rely on your gifts of guidance and peace as we offer in silence the names and the circumstances that fill our thoughts. We know that you will respond in your time and in your mysterious ways, simply because of your love and your grace for all people. It is in Jesus' name that we pray all things. Amen. As you go about your day, go in peace. Remember that you are loved, that Christ is present, and that we are, in fact, in this together with God.